Good morning. Questions, questions. I love questions. They reveal deep things of the mind that might not otherwise be known. A long time ago, my 2-year-old daughter was crying persistently. I calmly went into her bedroom and said, "Sarah, why do you cry?" It wasn't really a question. It was more like a statement of, "Give it a rest, will you?" Immediately, Sarah stopped crying, thought about the question, and replied in a calm voice, "I cry for food, sweets, drinks, teddy, lots of things." Although she had got the tenses wrong, she had taken the question seriously and had thought about it. And from the answer to the question, I realized for the first time not to take her crying too seriously and to simply ask her, "What's wrong?" Every day we hear lots of questions. For me at work, I might hear the question from a customer expecting a delivery, "Where's my tablets?" It's not really a question, it's a statement. What they really mean is, "I am angry and I want my tablets here yesterday. Now isn't good enough, and my situation is such that I will not be happy with any explanation." Technically, the tablets are not the patients but belong to the NHS, but that might not be a helpful answer. Then we hear the question within conversation, "What do you think about so-and-so?" Very often, it's not really a desire to hear what you think, but merely a wish to say what they think about so-and-so. And the first question in the Bible is in that category. Has God said? We know what happened. Eve did know what God had said, and yet she listened to the serpent who expressed his opinion and claimed to know God's reasoning. And the serpent is not alone. There are many who make the same claim. What was the Lord God's first question? Where are you? It wasn't a question because the Lord didn't know. It was a question to Adam and the rest of mankind ever since. Where are you? Where was Adam? Where are we in relation to the Lord? Are we one with the Lord, or are we separate? If you answer the Lord's first question, "Where are you?" that should prompt a question from yourself to yourself. Why am I here? Why is the cause, and where is the symptom or consequence? Three small words that reveal so much. Where are you? Like Father, like Son, Jesus asks questions, and because Jesus asks them, we need to stop and think and ask ourselves questions. I'm going to look briefly at three questions from Matthew's Gospel. They're all familiar words. Matthew 7, verse 3, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye?" Think about it. Why do we? Is it because we have a loving spirit or a critical spirit? And if the answer to the question reveals we have a critical spirit, then we need to think about why. Jesus helps further. "First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." The plank is everything that causes us to have a critical spirit. Whenever we are not showing love to another, we are not truly one with the Lord. And that's why Jesus asked the question, because of his concern for you. That's another thing to think about when there is a question. Why the question? Matthew 8, 26. "Why are you fearful?" Although Jesus asked all of the disciples why they were fearful, it's one of those questions which is meant to be asked individually. Why are you fearful? And the same question remains from Jesus to you, to me. Why are you fearful? Indeed, why is the world so full of fear? Fear is everywhere, Jesus gives the answer in three of the Gospels. In Matthew, he says, "O you of little faith." In Mark 4, he says, "How is it that you have no faith?" And Luke 8 records the question, "Where is your faith?" When fear creeps into my life, I try to listen to the voice of Jesus asking me the same questions. "O you of little faith, how is it that you have no faith?" At first glance, it seems a contradiction, but it's not. We do have faith, but sometimes in trying situations, we are not putting faith into action. And as James confirms, faith without works is dead. And the next question, which has been on my mind during these strange days, where is your faith? Has our faith been divided between the world and the Lord? If our faith is in the world and all it claims to offer, we will understandably be fearful. Recent events are like a trumpet call. There is only one to put our faith in, and to find peace, that faith must be active. Maybe that's another reason to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Matthew 16:13. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" The same question could be asked today. Who do men say that I am? And when we think about the answer, we would be shocked at the various opinions. But it is a question to reveal something to us that we might not have realized. But who do you say that I am? The written word is for all mankind, but it is so often it is a one-to-one communication. Who do you say that I am? Peter answers in humility, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We would say the same. And like Peter, no, it wasn't our opinion. It was a fact, undeniable. But facts on their own are not always inspiring. And Jesus wants us to be inspired by that knowledge. And he begins by telling Peter and us why we can see clearly who Jesus is. Verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The Lord God has revealed this to us. Why? To save. When we think about Jesus, we must not just think about who he was, great as he was, or even great as he is now, but also the future Jesus coming to answer, bringing the answer to all of the problems that both we and the world experience today. He is our Redeemer, our Saviour, our everything. And there's clearly no other hope compared to the Lord's promise. We don't always have to look in the Bible for the answers. The Lord answers through other means also. I have questions, but so did Job and Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Despite many questions and many words, their conclusions were brief and brought them peace. They both came to the realization that there was a lot they didn't know. And isn't that another realization from these days when faced with questions like, when can we once again meet as an ecclesia as we used to? We don't know. What I do know is enough. So I don't need to know the answers to what I don't know. Job and Solomon came to this realization and comfort, and I experienced this when I shared a walk with a blind friend called Dave and his friend. It was a 34-mile coastal walk, and Dave simply followed very closely his friend on a walk he hadn't done before. He suffered, he had questions, but he never questioned his friend, because he knew he would get him there. Encouragement was needed and given, and we too have the reassurance on our journey. We have been shown the way. We just need to hear the Lord's loving voice remember me. And at times of difficulty, the same two words, but as a question, remember me? Thank you.